We call these the Ten Commandments, these ten words that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And today the fourth commandment is part of the ten. But I would rename this fourth commandment as the tender commandment. It's tender. It shows the tender graciousness and mercy of God in writing into the script the command to relax, to rest, to take a weekly vacation.
Many of us have forgotten what it means to relax. Thanks to the internet, our smartphones, and tablets, we don't know how to disconnect. Studies show that an increasing number of Americans still work even when on vacation. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig reveals why rest is so important to God. But first, we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And here's a letter a listener sent in.
Hi, Skip. I've just pulled an all-nighter here at work and was thinking about you. Not great with words, but I just wanted to simply say thank you for your continued work in the ministry. My wife and I lead worship at Cowboy Junction Church in Hobbs, New Mexico. I tell you this because I honestly don't think I'd be here without you. You doing what God has called you to do. Myself and the staff at our church listen to many speakers, but on my list of favorites, you are on the top of that list. When I hear you speak, I feel safe. Even after all these years when life hits hard, I pull up the podcast and breathe. Again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. We pray for you and your family often. Yours in Christ, Fabian.
Cultures, languages, and lifestyles have changed dramatically over the years, but God's Word is a constant and strong foundation we can build our lives on. That's why we make it a priority to share God's Word through the teachings you enjoy on The Connection. And you can help continue that important work by giving a gift today. Just give us a call at 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Now, we're in Exodus chapter 20 as we dive into our study with Pastor Skip.
I'm going to begin this morning by reading something to you from my owner's manual to my car. It's the scheduled maintenance guide. Now, I got to confess, I have never read this until yesterday. Insight into my car, but it begins this way. Regular maintenance is essential to obtaining the highest level of performance, safety, and reliability from your car. This booklet is designed to help you make sure that your vehicle receives proper and timely maintenance. And it ends by saying, follow this booklet's recommendations and you will enjoy maximum reliability and peace of mind from your vehicle for many years to come. So here's a manual saying, read the book and have regularly scheduled maintenance. Well, here's our owner's manual right here. And the commandment we're about to read, you might say, is God's maintenance law for our lives to ensure that you live a peaceful life at maximum capacity. It's the designer's guide to your life. We call these the Ten Commandments, these ten words that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And today, the fourth commandment is part of the ten. But I would rename this fourth commandment as the tender commandment. It's tender. It shows the tender graciousness and mercy of God in writing into the script the command to relax, to rest, to take a weekly vacation. Or you might put it this way, you need a vacation from your vocation. And keep in mind, or try to imagine, how powerful this statement would be to the children of Israel. Remember the setting there in front of Mount Sinai. And the mountain was quaking and there was lightning and fire. And the people were down below saying to Moses, hey, you go up and hear from God. We're not going to go near. They were in fear of this great and awesome God. And so he gives the first commandment, worship no other gods. And the second, no graven images. And then you get down to the fourth commandment. And by the way, take a day off. Wow. Radical. For 2 million slaves who didn't know what a day off was in Egypt, who were oppressed and maligned and exploited for years by the Egyptians, for God to write into the top 10, relax, and that's an order. By the way, it is an order. It is a commandment. It's a positive commandment, but it's a commandment. And I would say that God's a pretty good judge of human character. He knows we need a commandment in this area. I venture to say that this message will speak to a great number of people who live their lives with a pedal to the metal, always living at full bore. In fact, it seems that breaking the Sabbath is the one commandment some people actually brag about breaking. I haven't taken a day off in 4 years. What, we're supposed to applaud at that? That's a good thing? That shows us your great work ethic? Vacation? Ha! Huh, what's that? Some people actually brag about breaking it. Somebody once said, we've become a generation of people who worship our work, who work at our play, and who play at our worship. Face it, our society places such a high value on what you do, so that when we meet somebody, we say, hey, what's your name? And we shake their hand, and typically we ask the second question, what do you do for a living? Because we equate what they do with the value of who they are. Well, something to make a note of, and we haven't even gotten into the commandment yet, is you'll notice that this is a positive, not a negative commandment. It's one of only two positive commandments in the top 10. Most of them are cast in the negative light. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. Until we get to the fourth commandment, this is put in a different manner. It's put in the positive, not the negative. And the fourth and the fifth commandment are in that manner. Notice the contrast. Go back with me to verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But now, the difference. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. Now, I'm going to be taking this commandment slowly. I'm not going to do it in one message. I'm going to look at it this week with you and next week. And here's why. I face a problem. When I start studying the text, I get awfully excited. And I write things down, and I then see, how can I fit all this into one? And then I think there's just too much information and too much inspiration from the information that I'd like to impart. So I've already done this on one other commandment. We'll do it with a couple others. But I want to look at this slowly and really apply this and answer some questions, because none of the Ten Commandments generate more controversy than this one. Did you know that whole church movements have begun over the issue of the Sabbath day? Did you know that some people think you're actually breaking the Sabbath because you meet today and not yesterday? In fact, some have gone so far as to say you're taking the mark of the beast if you worship on Sunday and not on Saturday. So, you know, last night we had our first service. I guess they're all okay, but what about the rest of us poor folks who are meeting here today? So what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? Is it a special day? Is it only the seventh day? Did it ever get changed in church history? Is the Sunday Sabbath a term we ought to use? All of these questions and more we'll be looking at, principally next week, but in part this week. Now let me remind you of something as we jump into our text today. I want to remind you of the two divisions of the Ten Commandments. Remember that there were two tables of the law. And the first four comprise the first table. The second six commandments are the second table of the law. The first four commandments are theocentric, God-centered. They define our relationship with God. The second six are anthropocentric, man-centered. They define our relationship to each other. So I'm bringing that up because this is the fourth commandment. This is in the first table of the law. Therefore, the Sabbath isn't just a break from your work. It must have to deal with worship. Must have to deal with our relationship with God. So let's review. The first commandment. You have to worship the right God. You will have no other gods besides me, the Lord said. You can't just pick and choose. I worship that God with that name, and they're all really the same. You got to worship the right God, first and foremost. Second, you must worship the right God in the right way. You can't say, well, I sort of have decided to worship God in my own way. The only worship God accepts is the worship God directs. And then the third commandment is not only do you worship the right God in the right way, but even down to the honoring of his very name, because name means character, reputation, and authority. Now the fourth commandment is all part of that flow. We worship the right God in the right way, honoring his character, reputation, and authority all day on this special day. The whole day is devoted to the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to take you back to verse 8 and look at verse 8 and 9, and we're going to notice the two things, the remembrance and the responsibility. Remembrance is commanded. This is a command, and the responsibility that we have is conveyed in verse 9. So let's look at it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In your reading through the Bible, that word Sabbath will occur 90 times in the Old Testament, from the Hebrew word Shabbat, translated in English, Sabbath. Another 50 times it will be written in the New Testament, from the Greek word Sabbaton, same idea. What does it mean? It means stop. So that's all it means, stop, cease, desist, put an end to. The idea is that this day puts an end to the week. The end to the work week. Work 6 days, seventh day you take off. 54 times in the Bible, it is not called the Sabbath, but it is called the seventh day in particular. The seventh day. Now the seventh day, we call Saturday, doesn't start Saturday morning, but it begins Friday evening. If you were in Israel and it was Sabbath, Friday evening, you would be getting together with your family to celebrate Shabbat, because the day begins Friday evening at sunset and continues all the way to Saturday evening at sunset. In fact, to be exact, when you see the three stars visible in the night sky, that's when Sabbath begins, and when you see the three stars the following night, that's when Sabbath ends. So the Jewish day begins at night. Make sense? And you say, why is that? Because that's how the creation was. It says, and evening and morning were the first day. And evening and morning were the second day. And evening and morning were the third day, etc. So the day begins and the evening continues through the daylight hours to sunset the following day. Next question is, where did the Sabbath come from? Is this something that all of a sudden comes to us in the Law of Moses? Do we suddenly read about it in the Ten Commandments? No, actually, it goes all the way back to creation. Here's a quote from Genesis chapter 2. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. So way back at the time of creation, the pattern, 6 and 1 was established, way before Moses. But when the children of Israel are taken out of the land of Egypt and brought through the wilderness, the Sabbath law is reintroduced and expanded. And here's an example. While they were in the wilderness, this weird substance came from heaven and landed on the ground every morning. It was called manna. And the Bible says it looked like white coriander seed, but it tasted like wafers mixed with honey. So it was like the Krispy Kreme donuts in the Old Testament on the ground every day, the breakfast of champions. This is how it would work according to God's law. He said, 6 days you shall gather it, and you only gather enough for one day. But on the sixth day, gather twice as much. Because God said on the Sabbath, the seventh day, there won't be any on the ground. So on the sixth day, you gather twice as much so that you can be at home leisurely eating what you picked up the day before. Exodus 35 further expands it. The Lord says, don't even start a fire. Don't kindle a fire in any of your dwellings throughout the camp of Israel. Now look at verse 10. We already read it. But you'll notice that on the Sabbath day, you're to take the day off. Your kids are to have the day off. Your employees are to have the day off. Even your pets get the day off. All of the animals don't work. I heard a story about an angry church member who went up to his minister and said, I called you all day Monday and was unable to get through to you. The minister said, that's because I take Mondays off. And the church member said, what? What do you mean day off? You take the day off. Even the devil doesn't take the day off. And the minister said, you're right. And if I didn't take the day off, I'd be just like him. So God says, you all take it off. Everybody takes it off in your dwelling. Now, something else about the Sabbath, since we're giving some background on it, I think it's also important. Did you know that the Sabbath law did not just include the Saturday Sabbath? It included special other days for Levitical feasts. They had the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, and smattered throughout the year, besides the Saturday weekly Sabbath, there were special other Sabbath days. For instance, this is Leviticus 23, the Feast of Trumpets. On the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a Shabbat Sabbath. For the Feast of Tabernacles, we read, the feast shall be kept for 7 days. The first day shall be a Sabbath to the Lord, and the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So, understand, the Sabbath was once a week and also other days throughout the year. Oh, but wait, there's more. Not only was there Saturday and other days throughout the year, there was a Sabbath year. Did you know that? A Sabbath year, a whole year you're to take off. You go, sign me up for that one. This is how it worked. Just like there was a pattern of 6 days and 1 day for rest, there was a pattern of 6 years and 1 year for rest. There's a week of years. That helps when we get to Daniel 9, especially in the 70th week of Daniel. But this is how it was operated. God said, for 6 years, you work the land. You sow, you reap, you till, you take in. But the seventh year, you hang out all year long. And God says, I'll so bless your endeavors in the land that all you have to do is go out and take whatever grows by itself. It's done for two purposes. Number one, to keep people from depleting the minerals and the richness of the soil. Number two, to remind them that the land doesn't belong to them, but it belongs to God. Now, why am I giving you all this background? Because sometimes you'll meet someone who will take great pride that they are Sabbath keepers. I keep the Sabbath, in contrast to you who don't keep the Sabbath. And I always ask, do you really keep the Sabbath? Oh, yes, I'm very, very adamant. It's God's commandment, okay? So that means you keep the Saturday Sabbath. That's right. And you keep those other days during the year. They go, what other days are those? And I'll remind them. And I said, it also means that once every 7 years, you take the year off, right? You just live by faith. You just trust God for that year and you don't do any work. Well, no, I don't do that. I said, well, that's part of the law too. That's part of God's pattern as well. Well, that was then. That didn't count. However, for God it counted. In fact, it counted very much that his people were to keep that sabbatic year as well as the day, because did you know that one of the reasons the children of Israel were expelled from their land and taken to Babylon for 70 years is because they didn't do that? That's right. They didn't take God seriously on the 70th or the 7th year. And for 490 years in the land, they disregarded this 7th year process. So the Lord booted them out of the land. And this is why. This is 2 Chronicles 36. To fulfill the word of the Lord until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. If you don't keep it for 490 years, that's 70 sabbatic years. You owe me 70. Bye. He took it seriously. Well, look what God's people were told to do in verse 8. Here's the commandment. Remember the Sabbath. The Hebrew word zakar, remember. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you just sit around and contemplate it? That mean you just let the thought come to your mind, oh, I remember today's Sabbath. There, I kept the commandment. I remembered it. It came into my mind. No, it must mean more than that. And it does. Joseph was in prison and he told the cupbearer who was going to go back and work for Pharaoh. He was restored to his position. Hey, when you get out of jail and you're working for Pharaoh, remember me. What did Joseph mean? Did he mean, while you're working for Pharaoh, have fond thoughts of me one day? You know, call me to mind. Smile when you think about my name. No, get me out of here. Remember me. The idea of this very strong command, and by the way, it is put in the Hebrew form called the infinite absolute. It's a very strong, positive, emphatic commandment. And it means to call to mind, to contemplate, or to ponder in order to elicit the proper response. And what is the proper response? We're told in verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. That's what God wants us to do with the day. Keep it holy. Set this day aside as different from all other days in the week. Simply said, you might put it this way. God is saying, set a day apart for me, to do whatever I want, what I love, what I like. Question, how many of you are married today? Go ahead, don't be ashamed. Raise those hands up. You know, some do this, like. Okay, those that are married, how many of you have ever heard of or practiced what's called a date night? A date night. More hands should be up than that, but that's okay. And here's why it should be. A date night is a covenant that a husband and a wife make that say, as we grow and as life gets busy and we have kids and we have our careers, let's not neglect the bond that you and I have. Let's reconnect. Let's nurture each other. It's not about the kids tonight. That's a babysitter. It's not about other couples. It's about us. It's our date night. It's a night or a time set apart wholly just for us. When my son Nathan was growing up, we had a day. My wife invented the term. She called it an I Love Nathan Day. And every time he heard this term, he lit up. My wife would say to Nathan, hey, do you know what today is? He'd go, no, what? She said, it's an I Love Nathan Day. And his eyes would light up and he got so excited because this is what it meant. On that day, Nathan could pick where we go to lunch, what activity we do, what store we go to look at stuff. It was all about what he wanted to do. The Sabbath day is the I Love God Day. God picks the activity. It's all about him. It's what he likes. It's what he loves. And he's to be honored.
Too often, the Ten Commandments get a bad rap as a bunch of rules designed to ruin our fun. But these commandments were actually designed with our best interests in mind. Now, here's a resource that will help you really dive into the truths found in God's Word.
One of the best ways to grow in your relationship with God is to study His Word. You can learn so much about His personality by reading the Bible, because it's His love letter to you.
You look around creation, it tells you about God. But if you want to get to know God, He gives His self-disclosure, His full revelation in His Word principally. That's why we study it. That's why we seek to apply it and understand it continually.
We want to help you dive deep into God's Word with Deep and Wide, a compilation of 500 teachings from Skip Heitzig. These messages make up 31 series that Skip has taught over the years, including God's Top 10, Drawing Near, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, and many more. This one-of-a-kind collection comes on a set of 8 CDs and is a great resource for those who want to have a better grasp of Scripture and learn about who God is. And it's our way to thank you for your gift to help the Connection spread the gospel to a lost world. Request yours today when you visit connectiononline.org/offers. That's connectiononline.org/offers.
We want to see more people come into a relationship with the living God. And the way we get to know Him is through His Word. When you partner with The Connection, you help keep these teachings on the air so more men and women can experience life in Jesus. Be a part of this important work when you give a gift at connectiononline.org/give. connectiononline.org/give. Thank you.
Tomorrow on The Connection, Skip continues to explain what it means to remember the Sabbath.
God's people were called to remember the Sabbath. Call to mind, contemplate, recall, in order that it might elicit the proper response of setting it aside as totally for the Lord.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection.
Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.